Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Sheila, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. You've been doing the 100-day program for quite a while.
Yeah, this would be my 10th round.
I saw that. I was like, wow, have we been doing it 10 rounds? Like, I don't even know how long we've been doing it.
Yeah, well, 10 of your years, I should say.
Yeah, so three and a quarter or a third of real years. Right. I even have my own kind of time, don't I? Somebody was saying.
I like it. Of course, being in education, it's always worked that way for me too.
Yeah. Someone said there's a lot of lingo to learn when you're in the Lisa orbit. And I was like, well, I have to redefine things so that we look at them differently, so that we do it differently.
Yeah, that's what I've appreciated about following you for these last many years, I guess I should say.
You speak Lisa-ese.
Easily.
Okay. So at least more than 3 years ago, how in the world did you originally find Organize 365?
Well, I think I was searching for Organize. That's something I did. It was during winter break. I think it was in 2015, and you were doing some kind of a triple dog day or something, you know, spend time with your kids and go in and dig, you know, dig into their rooms thing. And so it was like a couple of days after Christmas, and we had time to do that.
I remember that because, I mean, way back then, like now I'm very much thinking about all of the different kinds of people that would be listening to the podcast, men, women, young, experienced, you know, all the different people that'd be listening with children, without children. But way back then, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, it pretty much was this one middle-aged mom with middle school kids and how I was actually doing it. It was very, very focused on people that were like me and had kids about the same age that mine did. And I did. I had that triple dog dare, and it was over winter break, and it was to organize your house and organize yourself and organize your kids. Because that's what I always did as a teacher, is over that winter break time, I would clear out my storage room, and then the kids are all hopped up on, you know, excited for Christmas, but you didn't want to go anywhere and we didn't have any more money. So I was like, well, let's clear out your bedrooms. And then when the new stuff came, we filled it in. So yeah, wow, that was a long time ago, Sheila.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really start listening to you regularly then, but I think it was during sometime in the next year or so, you had something in one of the organizing packages or whatever, it was your Sunday basket ebook.
Yeah.
That got me hooked. That's what got me hooked. Yeah.
And that doesn't exist anymore either.
It exists on my computer, but yeah, not in the real world. Not that I need it anymore.
Okay. Well, tell me about you, like the people that live in your home, and yeah, just, did you kind of match the person I was back then too, or what?
Could have been. I am what you would call a organized geek or an organized, I've just been doing it since the good old days. Right now in my house is my husband, and we've been married 38 years.
Wow.
Let's see, my 20-year-old has bounced back home recently. And then my 17-year-old will be a senior next year. That's who's living in the home right now. I am currently going through a golden window because I just, like a week or so ago, retired from teaching.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, some of the planning days we've had when I put up retiring, and, you know, and because I've been planning this for like 5 years, you're like, retiring from teaching. Now I'm not retiring from life by any means. I'll find something else to do, but not so stressful.
Well, thank you for all your years of service. I mean, I think being in teaching is definitely a service profession. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So you said that you are an organizing junkie. So is Absolutely. That why you decided to get organized? Or am I just one of those, like, you're like me, where like, if I can get just one little idea, I'm going to keep listening?
I listen for ideas because you can always do it better. I'm a tweaker. So yep. It wasn't like I wasn't organized. What wasn't organized for me was paper. Paper was, it was my nemesis before the Sunday basket. So other areas I had more control of, but I didn't understand why when there were certain times when all of a sudden things were disorganized. And I just, and you kind of put the message on why that worked, because you going to another phase or making yep. a change mm-hmm. always creates chaos.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it works, but.
And it happens at least three times a year. Like it's always the end of November through December. It's the month of May and the month of August. And you think, why? Like, why does it feel like I don't have enough time and I'm so stressed out and I can't get everything done? And then you get to September and January and June and you're like, oh, well, I just must have been unorganized, or I figured it out. I'm not going to be disorganized again. And then you get to August and you're like, darn it. Why is this? And once you know it's coming, then you're like, oh yeah, it's just August. I'll be fine by the time I get to September, as long as you have a system to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, summertime is always a time for me that by the time August hit, I was always more organized than I was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the time that I actually had to put more time into it.
Yeah. The cadence is a little bit different for teachers that teach a traditional school year, because it really is that 10 weeks you get off in the summer where you do a whole year's worth of household related things. And then you go back into your hole for the next 42 weeks and you pop up just a little bit at winter break and then right back in, because there's just, I mean, teaching is just a, you know, minimum 50, usually 60, 70 hour a week. It just is. It's yeah. just the way the hours flow. So.
Of course, the past few years has been a little better for me because I did the 40 hour teacher work week program.
Yes. So I was thinking that. So that is Angela Watson's program, and her 40-hour work week and our teacher workbox tend to work really well together.
They work really well together. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
She and I talk. She and I are friends now. And there is some overlap in the systems, but they really are very complementary. They aren't, it's not like you do one or the other. They just kind of complement each other, right? Like, how do you use them together?
Well, for me, I mean, teaching is its whole monster itself. I mean, because you have so many things going. I mean, you only spend like 10% yeah. of your time actually teaching the part that you really love.
Right.
There's some time that you spend, you know, building relationships and things like that. But, you know, all the paperwork and reports and things that you have to do and remembering to do them, the Friday box and, you know, batching and all, you know, things you've been teaching, she does the same kind of mm-hmm. idea. You know, make sure you collect your ideas, get them out of your head. So they just married up really well together. And of course, she gave some more specific things yeah. to running a school classroom, and you give more specific to, you know, running your home and dealing with your, with my reason I'm with you is the paper. Just
paper. I mean, teachers love paper. And if it's around long enough, we'll just laminate it just in case we want it like forever in a day. My husband used to laugh because when I was first teaching, I was a preschool teacher in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I taught the at-risk kids in a Title I program. And so I would stay at school like at least 12 hours a day. And then I would come home, and it was preschool. So I would either be coloring or cutting out things that had been laminated during the day. And he's like, is there anything you're not going to laminate? And I was like, well, no, because I'm going to be teaching this grade and I want it to be done. So, whatever. I taught for 6 years, and every year I taught a different grade. But we have this imaginary thought that if we do it and we laminate it, then we'll be able to repeat this lesson the next year, which I never did ever. And even if I did, I want to add a new spin to it anyway. That's why I love doing planning day live. And it's not recorded. Like the 100-day program is recorded because you can go through that. But planning day involves like, what's the energy right now? Like what seasonally has happened? Like we're in a pandemic. Can you imagine if planning day was recorded and you're living through a pandemic and you're listening to how to plan, like it just totally wouldn't work. But the 100-day program didn't change because of the pandemic. Like where you store your socks and underwear didn't change.
Yeah. And planning days really helped me this year because, again, I'm transitioning into kind of year. So when you talk about your time block, your circle days or whatever, mm-hmm. I had to think of May days, and then I had to think of June and beyond days. So what they look mm-hmm. like. And so I basically kind of revisited that idea. I jotted down some ideas, but I revisited that idea this past week and thought about it. And basically I have my schedule set up for, you know, how things are going to work this from here on.
And isn't it so, I mean, like, you're a teacher, so you have the school schedule, like, you're so used to having a schedule to run by. If you retired and didn't have a schedule, while it would feel freeing at first, you'd be like, why am I not getting anything done? And it's because we don't need to be told exactly what to do, but we need to have kind of buckets of time for our stuff in an order on a day.
Yeah. I know it's been several years ago, but I know that you did a podcast about, you know, planning out days, you know, for your kids and planning out days for yourself. And I've even taken that a little, like, a step further. I have different things for different days, and they're kind of interchangeable because, you know, you have to have a little flexibility. But I also did a blocks for when I'm home. So I have like a 6 to 9 block because, you know, I get up, my husband goes to work, it varies which time he leaves, but I can do me time and do my morning routine before 9 a.m. And then my work routine, whatever my work happens to be. So, you know, it's just blocking up the time and days, of course. Of course, you know, it's just like working through that's the planning days does so much to help you process what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah. Versus just doing it. So when you, I mean, like an eon ago, when you first decided to get started, what time of year was it? And what did you do first in your getting organizing?
Well, when I actually got started doing something besides just the my winter break binges that I did was when I got the Sunday Basket ebook. And then I started back and listening because ebook, what else has she said about Sunday Basket? And you even had a work basket one way back when at one point in time. And so I listened to those, creating routines. I listened to those because I'm, I believe deeply in having routines. That's what makes people successful, you know? So I think it was like spring breakish time. I think that's when it came out.
And what was the first time that you noticed that something was organized that hadn't been organized before? Because, I mean, you're a pretty organized person.
Yeah, only because I have stolen ideas from people or, you know, dreamed ideas from other people. I would say the first time that I didn't have to, like, look for something. Like, I had control of my paper. I could find something that I needed, like, and not have to, like, say, it's in that file cabinet somewhere.
Yeah. Do you still have a file cabinet? As a teacher, I bet you do.
I got to the point where even at school, my file cabinets were empty. Yeah. Because things are so digital. And when you need a copy, you just run the copies, hand them out, and don't necessarily have to keep it because everything. We really went digital this past year. So, like,
that's true. The pandemic kind of pushed that ahead,
But even the paper that I was holding on to, I just made sure that I had copies of it.
That's good.
Yeah. And at home I have the things you have to hold on to,
right?
Your taxes and, you know, real estate and property and birth certificates and all that, you know, stuff you can never get rid of.
So what has happened since you started this journey that you didn't expect to happen?
Oh, we've had a couple of really profound health issues with the family members. And so, the first time I did I did it as double time because you had the teacher double time.
Oh yes.
So that was the first time I did it. So I went through pretty much every area. I won't say I did every single thing, but I went through every area. And then the next summer, it was actually May 1st. One of my sons had a very difficult health condition, and we had to move him home. And I basically was like 24-hour healthcare person for him for a little bit more than 2 months. And so my summer, you know, by the time July hits, like you say, it's like, you know, it's a wash. And so we just did. So once he was back to where we weren't like worried about him, then we just did fun things with the other kids because we'd kind of ignored them for the first part. Mm-hmm. And then this past summer, of course, was
chaos.
There's just all kinds of stuff that came up. You just can't plan things with pandemic.
Yes, we've all experienced that all at the same time, which in some ways is comforting because, you know, at least everybody else is going through it. Whereas before with your son, it was, you know, you kind of feel isolated and alone and it's just you.
Right, right.
I think the pandemic has made us all much more cognizant of different experiences people have, and just to give everyone a little bit more grace and understand that, you know, you just don't really know what other people's home life experiences are, or financial situations, or work situations, or anxieties and mental health and all of that. Like, I think all of us have that quieting down of society allowed us not only to think about ourselves, but really to hear from other people, so that even as the bustle comes back into life, I think we're all a little bit more compassionate and understanding and not so self-focused. At least that's how I am.
Yeah. Of course, there's things that would get to me. Like, people would say, oh, you know, while you're at home, not working, go bake and do. I'm like, that's not an existence in my family last year. We work probably way more than just with what we were doing. My husband's a truck driver. He never stopped.
Wow. So, yeah. Talk about frontline service. We need truck drivers the most. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, people have to have their food and toilet paper.
I really like truck drivers a lot. I always have. There was a meme I just shared with my husband, because I tend to order online. I ordered online before the pandemic. I don't go to stores. So there was one that said an adult version of the ice cream truck. And it was a picture of the UPS truck, the mail truck, the FedEx truck. I was like, yes, those are my ice cream trucks. Like, bring all the trucks. And then as a manufacturer, I mean, like, the supply chain and shipping, like, if you're not a nerd like me or interested in it, like, you probably still don't understand the supply chain. You just know that it is broken. It is so intricate. And there are just so many pieces that involve people, and then different kinds of containers and trucks and rail and timing and people. And it's very intricate. And once it gets messed up, I mean, we're going to be dealing with supply chain issues for 18 months to 2 years still.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I love truck drivers. I also love teachers, but I really love truck drivers. So tell your husband I said, thank you very much.
I sure will.
So what do you have more of now?
Oh, control of my paper, peace of mind that I don't have to ever go hunting for paper again. It's just, you know, if it's not in a binder or in a specific place, like worship and stuff, it's in the Sunday basket or in my work basket.
Yeah. It's such a big project to undertake, because there's so many pieces of paper. And then as soon as you think you're done, you find another pile or another binder or another digital archive of some kind of paper. But once it is actually done, like, maintaining it isn't nearly as hard as setting it up to begin with. And it's so freeing, like, to know where your paper is. And then if you can't find it, you need to go, then it's really lost. You know, it makes you realize what you don't have. What do you think you have less of?
Time searching for things, for sure. Yeah, definitely have less of that.
Do you think you have more time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been able to, I read a lot, but I've been able to read a whole lot more. In fact, when you do your book reviews, usually I'm a couple steps ahead and I've already read that book. Not everyone.
Wow.
A lot of them I read, especially in the early days, like Chronotypes, you know, I'm a bear. So I know that between 6 and 9 a.m., I'm not going to do anything.
Yep.
Creative productive. Or whatever. So, so I'm not going to do that. And then Rory Vader, I still follow him on Success. So network.
Yeah.
So just certain people that you have already made connections with. So, you know, I feel like they're my mentors in some ways too.
Oh, that's so good to hear. That's a lot of book reviews, because if there's one a week coming out for the first 10 months of this month, they're all on YouTube already. And that's like over a decade's worth of books that I've read, really, over the last 20 years. Like, what books have made me who I am today? That I find that so fascinating. Whenever I'm following somebody for a while, I'm like, okay, who are you listening to? Because then you get to like, oh, well, there's even more that you could take from that. And yeah, I'm just a learner and you're a teacher. So you're a learner.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm a Gretchen Rubin fan, have been since the Happiness Project. I kind of made my own Happiness Project way back in the day.
Oh, neat. Yeah, maybe you need to give me some book recommendations.
Now, Generations, which I read after you talked about Generations. Mm-hmm. I'm just so fascinated with that. I mean, I've read Generation kind of books like that, but it took what's next, because that was written so long ago. And then I found out that Strauss and Howe wrote The Fourth Turning.
Yes, so I've read that too.
That was a recent read. So
yeah, that one will freak you out. So skip that one.
Well, for this time, but I'm sitting there looking at 2028 doesn't look that far away. And if 2008 was the fourth turning, then yeah, anyway.
Yeah. But it is like, I just find it so fascinating, especially as a teacher. We think that you get to college or whatever you end your formal education, and then you have hobbies and passion projects and you have a job. But mm-hmm. I don't have to go back to school to get a cognitive psychology degree. I could just continue to learn about, like, I like to learn about business, and I like to learn about generations, and I like to learn about female business owners. Like, one of the books I reviewed is the book of the founder of the company Ask. I think it's called The $400 million CEO. She was a female CEO in the 70s and 80s in the IT industry. It's just fascinating to me. Like, she had coders coming into her house and little kids crawling all over, and she and her team are sleeping on the floor in the places where they're programming because it's still mainframe computers. Like, you would think that that's not relevant today, but it is. Like, every single business you see today, every single one was started in a garage or at a kitchen table. Not a single company was actually started in an office building with a team. Like, that's not how any company was ever started. So I love hearing all the way back to that. And like, how did they, it's so hard to get through the first 5 and 10 years in a company. I have a consultant that comes in that she was in a family owned business, and she literally doubled their sales from a lot of money to a lot more money. And now she works with startups. And then she also consults with us, and she works with startups like that have an idea, no team, or they have an idea and they have a couple of people on their team. And so we're at 10 years now. And she comes in and she's like, Lisa, I had no idea how nice it was that I went into my family's company and almost doubled their sales, but all of the infrastructure was there, like the building, the people, the HR department, payroll, like it all existed. And now I'm working with these startup people and they have this fantastic idea, but they're one person. And even if they get the cash, like, they don't know how to manage people. Like, it doesn't matter. To have a team, you have to be able to manage a team and create a culture. And all. And she's like, so now when I look at what you've done in 10 years, it is so much bigger than I realized. Now that I see how you have to start with nothing and get it to this point, and then you start to get this exponential effect. We aren't there yet, but eventually you do, like, if you stick at it long enough. So mm-hmm. I just find it fascinating to go back to all these women over, you know, all the way back to the person who was in Tupperware first, and just hearing their stories about how did they carve out the time? How did they find the time, man or woman, how do you find the time to work on this idea and create it as something marketable that people will pay you for, and then also build this team behind you while holding on to your family and your marriage, if you can? It's just this work-life balance thing we're trying to figure out today. Entrepreneurs have been trying to figure it out all the way back to the beginning of time. And it's fascinating to me. Sorry, I rabbit trail a little. But yeah. I love books. I love being transported to another place and like stepping into those person's shoes.
When you're doing things that you're passionate about, though, sometimes other things have to take a back seat. I mean, you can't do everything. You can do anything you want. You just cannot do everything.
Oh, I don't like that answer, Sheila.
Well, you can do, but you have a really good way, because you're like focusing on this, and then you go focus on this, and you mm-hmm. break it up into three parts, because you know, you can't jump into new things, too many new things, because you're not going to get anything out of it. So mm-hmm. if you try something new every season or every one of your trimesters, then you know, you're on a good, you know, after 10 years, you've gone through 30 different cycles.
Right. See, I make myself get extra years inside of each year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, they really show that if you break your time down into 3 month or 4 month
increments
sessions, mm-hmm. you can actually meet your goals more than if you say this year I'm going to.
Right.
Too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is why I wrote my most recent book, Organizing is a Learnable Skill. Not because any publisher wanted it, obviously, but because that's the book that I wanted to write forever, because it is the year that I transferred from a depressed, overweight, negative, reactive person into a positive, proactive. I didn't lose any weight, but I was a very happy person at the end of the year. How does that happen? Like, yes, it's the 100-day program and all those things. But like when I'm reading those stories of business owners, I'm literally like, one of my favorite books is the Pampered Chef book. Like watching her create it from nothing into like a $720 million company. Like that's like mind-boggling. And to see the rate at which it changed, it took her 7 years to get to $1 million, 3 more years to get to $10 million. And then it just went up exponentially. And I will say that our numbers don't perfectly match hers, but they're pretty darn close. And I'm reading in there, I'm like, okay, so her husband came in and he was running operations. Okay, the people in her company kept promoting up as the company grew. She didn't hire in people from outside to like run the marketing department. Like the person who was filling the boxes all of a sudden became head of operations slowly over time, which is how I'm growing my company, which I love. I love growing a team from within. It's the teacher in me. Like we love to see the people that are our students learn and grow. And we believe more for them than they believe for themselves. And when they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize they could do this. And we're like, yes, we knew it all along. Like that's just totally the teacher thing. That's why I love that story is because so many of those people came in and they were just like, oh yeah, I can help you move. I can help you do this. And all of a sudden they found out that they're like, you know, director of operations and they had the skill set or they learned it over time that they didn't know about. It was so, so cool. So the Organizing is a Learnable Skill book is like, okay, yes, there's a 100-day program. Yes, there's a Sunday basket. This is the tactical how-to. And you listen to the podcast, it's all the mindset shifts. Yeah, but what was I really saying to myself when I'm sitting there on the floor of my closet and I had no money and none of these clothes fit and decluttering what? There weren't enough clothes to declutter, but yet there was nothing to wear here. Nobody tells you that story. Like everybody's like, declutter your closet and keep only what fits. Well, what if there's not enough clothing there to make 5 outfits? Like then what do you do? And so I walk you through that. That I love stepping into somebody else's story and living it and then applying it to my own life.
Yeah, I'm to August on your book. So that's how.
So have you been there when I was trying to try on the pantyhose?
Yeah.
My friend's editing the book. She goes, Lisa, this is a little bit of a squirrel rabbit trail. I'm like, leave it in. It's hilarious.
And another interest that you kind of sparked me to go even more into than I've, because I have somebody who I can get ideas from is how you look at people's personalities, you know, like the clover leaf, if you do with all the people who work for you, you can actually find out how they tick and they can understand better how they tick. And of course I've gone through, you know, some of those myself already, and then going back and doing a couple that I hadn't done, like I'd never done that Enneagram or whatever that is, but now I know I'm a 1-9 and a wing 4 and a, you know, whatever.
Hey, no. You know, yeah. You're a peacemaker and a perfectionist then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good. You got that going on in your head. How do I make peace and be a perfectionist at the same time?
I've kind of figured out it's I take what people have done and then I make it even better. That's what I do.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, do you have ideas for me?
Always.
All right. Well, you just funnel those through to me, please. My email, you know, my email.
Yep, I do.
I love it when you guys send us product ideas, podcast ideas. Like you can, I print them out. When you guys send us ideas, I print them out. I put them in the idea folder. If it's a podcast idea, it goes in the podcast folder. Sometimes it'll be 18 months later. I'll be like, okay, now I want to record a podcast on this. I'll email the person, by the way, your question's finally going to be answered on the podcast. Because I mean, what do you want to know? I want to know what you want to know. So send me an email, lisa@organize365.com, and let me know what you want. You never know. 5 years from now, I'll put it on the podcast. Sheila, what do you wish you had known sooner?
About this Sunday basket and all the skills of, you know, getting things out of your brain on a regular basis. And the thing is, it kind of married up with what I'd done way in the past. Like when my kids were little, I'd followed the Slob Sisters, Pig Pen to Paradise.
Oh, I loved them.
Oh my gosh, Pam and Peggy. I love them. And they had a card. I still have my card file. Now the cards have gone, been updated, but I haven't used it for way more than a decade, probably 20 years. I still have it. But having each task on a card, and then later on, it was each set of routines on a card. It was so enlightening for me. And then you saying, let's put every idea on a card. I'm like, that just makes so much sense to me. It makes so much sense to me.
So they were the Sob Sisters, but wasn't that also She, which stood for Sidetrack Home Executive? Mm-hmm. So they were a little bit before my time. Like, I was watching them in high school and college because, you know, I'm me. But they, I think they've passed away. Like, that company doesn't exist anymore because I was looking into it. It was recent.
It does not. In fact, it's hard to get one of their books or whatever, but.
Yes, because I was looking into that and then I met somebody who had worked with them and they said that they had just passed, I believe. I could be wrong. But I remember what I took away from that, because this was before I even got into Julie Morgenstern, because I was in high school when I was following them. How I even did that, I don't even know. But was that it was a Sidetracked Home Executive. Like, they were calling it an executive back then. That wasn't like what people would think of. And my mother, even though she owned her own company at home and she worked for other people, she always held her role as running the household as if it was, you know, like an executive level position. Like, she was running the household. And so I think it was just the attitude she had towards it. I always called myself a stay-at-home mom. She never called herself a stay-at-home mom, even though she was. Running a household as if this was, you know, a profession, and she was an executive. And so I just thought that was interesting that it kind of elevated that profession.
Yeah, she's one of, you know, when you get up in the morning, get yourself dressed as if you can open your door to anybody.
Yes.
And that's what you should be every day. You shouldn't be just like, you know, in your pajamas from 3 days ago, going to your door just because you're home every day.
And I love that. I do. I always got, you know, fly lady, get dressed to your shoes. This is your job.
I know fly lady from the early days because fly lady was on a message board with me. It was a Pam Young and Peggy. It was a message board way back in the day before, you know, computers were too big of a thing.
Yes.
And so fly lady always had this, she would always take their ideas and tweak them a little bit. She had some really great ideas. And then someone said, can you please do this for, you know, and so she got her plans in place. And then someone said, you might as well just have your own website. And so she moved into that.
She's moved on. Yeah. Fly Lady. I was heavy into Fly Lady end of early 2000s when Joey and Abby were babies. Cause I literally could not figure out how to feed myself and them at the same time. Like, I'm in the shower and I washed my hair with soap. And I was like, ugh. So I rinsed it out and wash my hair again with soap. And then the third time I'm in the shower saying, shampoo, use shampoo, use shampoo. So I would wash my hair correctly. That's how tired I was. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. Like, this is when I created the Sunday basket, but it is also when I found Fly Lady. And I was like, there has got to be some kind of rule book here because I am failing epically at this whole working from home, direct sales, stay-at-home mom program. The kids are alive, but other than that, like, I can't even wash my own hair. Who can help me here? That's when I found Fly Lady. I was like, oh, okay. We get dressed to our shoes. We shine in our sink. We make a control journal. Got it. I'm on it.
Yep.
And then I evolved that into the Sunday basket. But yeah, those, like, every generation of organizers just kind of adds another little spin to it. Mm-hmm. Which absolutely. I love. I love that.
Of course, none of them helped me with paper. You're the only one who's helped me get the handle on paper. So
no one's been crazy enough to tackle paper.
I so appreciate it because it came at a time when I was at wit's end. I mean, I actually called it my nemesis. It was so bad because paper is everywhere. And just, you know, having an understanding where, well, it doesn't have to be everywhere. You know, you don't need a good portion of it.
Yeah.
So that was really, really, and having a system to deal with it once a week.
So this has freed you up. What are you going to do next? What's your next step other than retiring?
Well, I wish Creative Memories was still around because not in my sphere because my aunt used to sell it and I used to go to her workshops like every other Friday. Back in the day. So, but we're still going to go scrapbook together, just, you know, figuring out what my new adventure is. I have to have time to kind of figure out which direction I want to go. It's going to be something with information of some kind, but it's not going to be teaching in the public school system anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could be a Sunday basket teacher. We have workshops.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. You could do those workshops and you could add on Creative Memories workshops to those workshops. Because that's where I got the idea for the paper organizing workshops was Creative Memories. Mm-hmm. Best direct sales company of all time, if you ask me.
I'm right there, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you because you just keep, I was there every other week. I have so many albums done, but then for the past, I guess, 20 years, I really haven't done a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah. I think if we could just find all those creative memories people and put them in one location again, like solve world peace. Like those are the best people. Creative memories people are like the best people.
Yeah. I'm thinking about recruiting a couple of them that I knew and just doing a retreat and we all go and just do it, you know?
Yes. Do it. You should do it. That'd be great. What advice would you have to someone who is just starting out, Sheila?
Get a Sunday basket, get some morning routine, you know, get some routines into your day.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Sunday basket is a place to start. Even if you go all in, start with the Sunday basket, get a handle on it, get and build it into your routine where you're working, where you're getting your things out of your head, putting in your Sunday basket and working on your Sunday basket on a regular basis. That's it is. And everything else will just kind of fall into place. My personal opinion.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for being a guest on the Organized 365 podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.